Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And for those just joining, we started the show with a huge success story, a man who started his career in a three-bedroom apartment in Deira. I mean, this was tough. It was just about 8 or 10 people. They even had someone stuffed in the maid's room. And today, you know, they today are a multi-billion dollar turnover business. He is one of the iconic CEOs of the region. This we heard the story of Deepak Babani, the chief executive officer of Euros Group. Euros Group, I think they have a $4.7 billion plus turnover today. And you can see their brands peppered liberally across Dubai Mall, the largest mall in the world and the number one shopping destination in the world. Just one of the other inspiring pieces of this super city, Dubai. So if that, you know, if your career is not going well, you know, if it's not really hitting stride, there was one story that both had, I hope, inspired you and also gave you a blueprint for how to move forward. Now, of course, it's not all about business. After that, we just heard from Madia Nocentini, Vice President of Corporate Development at OSN, and she, in her spare time, was the founder and CEO of the social enterprise C3, consultant coach for a cause. It's a very, very cool movement where they actually go in and bring business people to coach NGOs and help those individuals get the business skills they need to take their business to the next level or take that social enterprise to the next level. As they say, no finance, no romance. So getting those accountants into those refugee camps is a great movement, and you can check her out online if you Google consultant coach for a cause. And yes, she is Italian with a name like that, just in case anyone didn't pick up on it. But now it's time for the moment we've all been waiting for. It's time to listen to a man by the name of El Comandante. You know, this guy has been known to wear Mexican wrestling masks in his office. His name is Arto Yowensu. He's the chief executive officer of Dubizzle.com. But let's hear a little bit more about his background.
Looking for a second-hand baby pram or sofa, a new job or a tennis partner? Lucky for Dubai's residents, there is Dubizzle, a website where you can buy, sell or find practically anything in your community. Arto Yowensu is the CEO of this classified site, responsible for all Dubizzle operations globally. He has over 14 years of experience across internet startups such as Finnish startup IOBox, as well as with large multinational corporations such as Nokia. Since joining Dubizzle as Director of Marketing, Yowensu has been responsible for establishing the marketing organization as well as creating an in-house creative, media and customer agency to support the overall regional expansion efforts of the company. Today, Dubizzle, which was founded in 2005, employs over 150 people operating across 11 countries. Since taking over as CEO of Dubizzle in the summer of last year, Arto Yowensu has remained true to his belief that through the right people mixed together with the right values, any business challenge can be conquered. Arto has a Bachelor of Business Administration in International Business from Haga Helia, a University of Applied Sciences in Helsinki in Finland. He also holds an executive education from INSEAD Business School.
Well, that is quite an impressive bio. Please, Arto, welcome.
Thank you, Shane. It's a pleasure to be here.
El Comandante has arrived. we've been waiting for this moment, and I didn't know if you were going to throw a couple Mexican wrestling moves at me, but I've limbered up before you came in. I'm ready.
So. Yeah, they asked me to leave the mask at the door. So
okay, but I heard that you snuck in a couple copies of Nacho Libre under your shirt.
Yeah,
that we can watch those later.
I prefer not to talk about that.
Well, we had a few people coming in with a few questions here, and unfortunately we didn't get a chance to answer them while Deepak was on. And so one of the questions here from Ashton, we won't say his last name, but he's basically saying, you know, when you're starting something, you know, do you need to have that inner voice, or is it that you analyze that there's a gap in the market, that, you know, that's a compelling reason, or is it serendipity? Is it luck? What's your take on these three items?
Well, yeah, I hope it's Ashton Kutcher who asked the question. So
you knew. I just trying not to let out of the bag. Thanks, I didn't want to let out of the bag.
But. Greetings, Ashton. I think, you know, this...
He's a big fan of the show, by the way. He's big.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. I think, you know, this inner voice is a really interesting concept. And, I mean, I'm no psychologist, but personally I feel that, you know, there's different stages in life where people go on and you have this kind of sentiment of calling around a specific cause. And the majority of people never do anything about it. But I think that pursuing it is extremely important. And oftentimes, depending on your age and you know your life situation, that kind of inner voice evolves. And oftentimes, you end up in a place where a lot of these streams kind of just come together. And I think that's really the most fantastic thing is if you're able to combine your vision and the kind of inner voice to what you do every day. And I think that's something that, you know, I think we all aspire towards.
Is it if you can or you must?
Well, I think, you know, there's an element of luck involved in everything that we do. And, you know, you think about, I mean, obviously, I'm really passionate about technology and kind of digital, marketing in general, not just from a point of view of, you know, making money for a company, but actually understanding human behavior. There's a massive anthropological component to it. And it's interesting how you have certain societies that happen to stride because they were in the right place in the right time. And I think for us as human beings, it's also a combination of determination, right timing, and I guess destiny in many ways that you're able to release it. But of course, hard work and determination is a big part of it, and persistency and not giving up. So I think that's a key thing in the mix.
Yeah, I was actually speaking with Arthur Berman a couple weeks ago, who's the internet sensation who was 350 pounds at 5 foot. He couldn't walk unassisted, loses 180 pounds, becomes a yoga instructor. Amazing success story. You can check him out on YouTube. It's Arthur Berman, and his videos Never, Never Give Up. But he said, here's his formula to achieve anything in your life, anything at all. And it's two steps. Step one, start. Step two, don't quit. and most of us, for fear or whatever, we just don't ever start. And if I read into that question of Ashton, you know, what Kutcher was saying there, you know, he's not starting, right? It's like, why should I start? Is it the market opportunity? Is it my inner voice? Is it this law? Is it this or that? You know, whereas these guys, you start and then you just don't ever stop. I don't know what's your philosophy or
no absolutely, and I mean I think it's easier said than done, but there's always excuses not to start. You know, I'm fresh out of college, or I'm just having, you know, I'm just getting married, or I just had my kid, or I fully agree in the notion of getting started, but then also following it through in the way of not quitting.
And you mentioned that, you know, one of my personal tenets when I look for successful people, one of the things that I like to look for, which I would rank in the top three, that's just my personal thing, is an insatiable curiosity about your profession. That when you look at the top performers, they're constantly trying to get new information about how this piece of the puzzle works. And in my opinion, that's what you were touching on when you talked about, you know, digital marketing. It's not about making money or selling things online. It's, you know, it's the anthropological edge. It's understanding human behavior. This is in my mind, what you're touching on is intellectual curiosity, if I could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Curiosity is extremely important. And I think the biggest danger is also complacency. And, you know, I had the privilege of being a part of, you know, the Nokia story for 10 years. And what I saw was a company that was fundamentally changing the world in many areas. But then I also saw how a giant really came to its knees in a very short period of time. And I think the big danger is if you don't remain hungry, you don't remain curious, complacency kicks in. And, in any organization, you know, throughout the last 15 years that I've worked in, you tend to see a combination of people that are excited about the future, and then you have the people that are afraid of the future. And I think when you have an organization that is afraid of the future for the wrong reasons in terms of protecting your past experience and hiding behind titles, that's when a lot of detrimental things start happening. But when you're really excited, I think that's really cool. And one of the things that kind of stuck to mind is a story that I heard from my grandfather. He used to work in a paper and pulp company in Finland, you know, many, many years ago. And he was a young guy straight out of university. And they used to have this huge warehouses where they would have like the massive logs of trees. And all the inventory management was done by paper and pen. And he spent a good 9 months introducing the first punch card computer system to the company. And he was, you know, young and driven and ambitious. And he presents the concept to the board of directors. And he was wondering, like, why am I not getting any traction for this? And after the meeting, the CEO, the current CEO, or the CEO back then, came and said, "Listen, son, I think your ideas are fantastic. But I'm going to retire in 2 years, so I don't want to rock the boat now. But, you know, once I retire, then, you know, you can come in." And that being the example of, do you see the future as something that you stride towards, or are you just trying to protect status quo? And that's the danger of not being curious.
But you were a little bit, you know, your risk appetite is also very high. You know, you, if I remember correctly, actually moved from Europe into Mexico. And this maybe could have been part of your love for Mexican wrestling. I don't know what drove that. But, you know, that most people won't jump across the ocean.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been a few kind of bigger jumps. I mean, I started off in Mexico, actually, and then I came to back to Finland to the headquarters of Nokia and then jumped here into Dubai. I think personally for me, you know, one of the biggest jumps that I had to make in my career is, you know, I have a 9-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter, and I was in a pretty good position at Nokia. And, you know, you have your monthly salary, your benefits, and you're just kind of cruising as a part of the matrix. And then the kind of Dubizzle opportunity comes along. And I had to explain to my wife that I'm taking a 50% pay cut. I'm ditching my bonuses, and we're going to have to take a personal loan to jump on board of this opportunity. And it was the shortest conversation I've ever had with my wife. It was about 1 minute, and I said, "Let's do this."
And then she left.
No, she didn't leave.
All right.
Think she
true
was
love.
Pretty crazy.
True love.
Yeah, or maybe she saw something that I didn't see. But I think those are the kind of leaps when you jump out of your comfort zone and you're super scared. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, but you take the leap. And I felt like throughout the years, those have been the moments where you really grow the most.
Well, I also think it's kind of ironic that you're using an example of your grandfather who worked in a pulp and paper mill. And Nokia originally was a pulp and paper business.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know that. And that evolution, I mean, I think that really kind of speaks volumes of the level of innovation and drive and change that you need to have in business, and the risk that you took in terms of completely almost reinventing yourself, jumping out of a massive institution like Nokia into an entrepreneurial role. What must have been frightening?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, that's part of the... well, I mean, you touched on it earlier in terms of where a lot of the guys coming out of university now are thinking in terms of joining. You don't join a company; you really want to join a movement. And the thing that has always driven me in terms of my career is you know, the reason why you want to get out of bed in the morning is for me personally is that I want to make a difference in the world, and that's kind of what I believe that, you know, Nokia was doing in a very great manner. And I feel that that's something that Dubizzle is doing today in terms of really improving people's lives and making a difference. And I think, you know, we had a fantastic example of this organization from a, you know, charity point of view. But my fundamental belief is that a values-driven organization is the best entity that can make a difference in the world. Because oftentimes, you know, you have innately, you know, the right reasons. And cool, we'll continue on that.
This is El Comandante on Making a Difference. Outside of his wrestling career, he's also the CEO of Dubizzle. It's Arto Yowensu, and he's telling us how to make money on the net, how he built up one of the top .com businesses here in Dubai. An amazing story that threads through Mexico, Finland, pulp and paper mills, high tech, and into the sands of Dubai. It's truly amazing. We'll be right back.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. For those of you just joining, we just heard the story of a man who started his company in a three-bedroom apartment in Deira. Today it's generating over $4.7 billion in sales. It was the story of Deepak Babani, CEO of Euros Group. You can catch, if you missed it, you can catch the podcast on our website, DubaiEye1038.com. Some amazing little pieces of information on how to build a billion-dollar business. You might want to listen to it if you're serious about your career. And if you're not serious about the career, but you're serious about the community, you can also go listen to Madia Nocentini, Vice President of Corporate Development at OSN and founder and CEO of the social enterprise C3 Consulting Coach for Cause. Basically, what they do is they help NGOs with their business strategies, with their business acumen, and get working professionals such as accountants to go into places like refugee camps and help these charities get off the ground. So if you wanted to get involved in that, or you just wanted to hear about what she does, you can go to her website or just Google C3 Consultant Coach for a Cause in Dubai, or go to our website, DubaiEye1038.com, and check out the Eye on Career Show webpage and look at the podcast. There's a whole bunch of things there that help you get an edge in your career, in your business. But right now, we're listening to the story of El Comandante, a man who loves wrestling, Mexican wrestling, but the one thing he loves more than that is digital marketing. He is the chief executive officer of Dubizzle.com. His name's Arto Yowensu. Arto, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Great. Thanks, Shane.
For those who just missed his initial part, we were just looking at, you know, what's more important, you know, your inner voice, market opportunities, or luck. And I think, Arto, you were saying your inner voice is really important, listening to that and having the opportunity, encouraged to chase that and work with your passion and what your inner voice is doing, I think is one of the key part of the wind in your sails, let's say. But you also feel luck is important. But I think one of the key takeaways there was the intellectual curiosity, that digital marketing for you is more about understanding the human condition. But one of your mantras is never give up, and the tenacity and drive is really key. You know, passion alone won't do it. Intellectual curiosity alone won't do it. And, you know, and I liked your clause where you said, you know, don't join a company, join a movement. Really speaks to the power of a why. But just coming in from our audience here, so if anyone has any questions, you can SMS us at 4001. That's SMS us at 4001. Or use the mobile app, which you can download from DubaiEye1038.com. The question was, you know, people says, great listening to the interview, but, you know, who really has the edge here? The employee or the employer? Is it better to work for a company and, you know, get a great salary, or is it better to be the business owner and take on all the risk and stress and long working hours? Would that be better? I don't know. This is a question from Yusuf, not Ashton Kutcher, we may have heard from earlier, but... Arto, what do you say? I mean, you've been both. You've been the employee. You've been the employer. Which side is the grass greener on?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really good question. And you know, for me personally, I think what is absolutely critical is whether, no matter what side you're in, you're actually unified by a common purpose. And one of the things that we talk a lot about, and I mean, we always talk about a values-driven organization or a company that really thinks about its why. What's the deeper purpose and who are the people? What are the core values? How do we go about operating our business? And then the what is ultimately the end result. And one of the things we've done quite a lot at Dubizzle, and instead of making it a cheesy poster that's on the wall, we have actually stated all of this publicly. So if you go to dubizzle.uno, U-N-O, we've kind of stated it all.
What's UNO? Is that another like wrestling name, or
yeah? Well, yeah. It's a new domain structure. But I think the reason why I brought it up is that I think if you're the employer or the employee, what's really important is that your company has a clear vision, and not just a mission statement that you learn in business school, but something that actually dictates not only what you do, but what you decide not to do. And oftentimes, you know, it's really about the exerted behavior. So when you look at performance evaluations, it's just as much about your professional competencies, hence the what, as it is about the how. So how do you go about, you know, doing what you do? And, you know, obviously, being an entrepreneur, you put a lot on the line. And being an employee of a company, there's certain risk that you don't necessarily need to incur. But I think both of them are roles in which, if you're driven by a purpose, if you're driven by a movement, you know, you can really live a successful life because you're actually doing something to make a difference. And innately, there's certain skills that fall, you know, under the entrepreneurial side, and then there's certain skills that, you know, and certain life situations in which people prefer to be on the employee side. But it still doesn't mean that you can't, you know, be motivated by the same vision.
But I think one of the misnomers, I personally think leadership's a bit overrated, because what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, just, you know, if you think you're the boss, you're not, because your clients are your bosses, your clients are your managers, and you're actually working for your employees, right? Because you're trying to make sure you get everything that they need to be successful. So in fact, you have like infinitely more bosses when you're, you know, paradoxically supposed to be the boss. So it's kind of flipped on its head, you know, and I think people don't realize that. The employees, I think, have the better hand, because no matter what, at the end of the day, they're walking out with a paycheck. They're walking out with cash, right? I mean, I don't know if you're nodding your head, but I don't know if you want to make a definitive statement as we get into hot water here.
No. I think the interesting angle of it is if you really look at, I mean, one of the things that, or one of the terms that I absolutely hate as a marketeer by heart is the word consumer. A consumer is a faceless number on a list with certain demographics that brands shout their messages to. And I think, you know, coming back to what digital channels and the internet has enabled, is that it's not about return on investment anymore. It's actually return of interest. And it's about engaging in conversations with your customers, not faceless consumers, and having one-on-one conversations with them. And I think that's really the true boss in the end is the customer, and as a brand, are you able to serve their social practices? Because the value exchange does not happen at the point of purchase at retail, or at the conversion rate of, or the checkout of a basket on an online shop, but it actually, the value exchange happens when a customer uses your product or service and it fulfills their needs. And that's really, I think, the big, you know, shift in terms of value that's happened in the kind of recent 10, 15 years with the emergence of the internet.
Well, when I look at your whole dialogue, I mean, it really, value really is one of the key pillars, it seems, you know. And, you know, I also like how when you look at the relationship between the employer and the employee, you really kind of are just saying that it's irrelevant. What's relevant is that everyone's moving on the same journey. You know, whether you're sitting, where you're sitting on the bus doesn't matter. It's really about why you're on the journey, why you're going where you are, and what value you're creating beyond just the dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Simon Sinek puts it well, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And we spent more time with our colleagues in the office than we spent with our loved ones. And, you know, if if you're getting out of bed in the morning, you want to get out to make a difference. And I think that when you have a core set of values in an organization and a clear sense of what your purpose is, that dictates everything that you do. It dictates the type of people that you hire. It dictates the types of people that you fire. And it also dictates, not from a top down, but everybody who buys into the vision, that's the guide for the decision making. And I think that's fantastic when that really comes together.
Well, you know, I think it's great that you have such strong value system and a culture. But at the end of the day, you know, wasn't the real success of Dubizzle.com the fact that you guys took first mover advantage and there wasn't another classified actually out there? I mean, this was a trailblazing. The success was built on the tactics of these of the first few guys pounding the pavement and walking into showrooms and saying, "Hey, guys, you should put your stuff on our website." And they were like, "Get the hell out of here!" And then go to the next one until somebody finally did put it on. But don't answer the question. El Comandante is going to field that in just a minute. What is the true reason for their success? Is it culture? Is it value? Is it first mover advantage? Tactics versus strategy versus culture? It's all coming together here in one massive clash that we're going to hear about in just a minute as El Comandante flies off the top rope and takes care of business. So we'll be right back.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. This is Shane Phillips. I'm your host, and we have been going through a huge gauntlet to get you pumped up and give you the skill set you need to succeed. We heard from Deepak Babani, the chief executive officer of Euros Group. If you didn't hear the story, the guy came to this country with almost nothing. Today, he runs a billion-dollar business. You can catch his story on our website, dubaii1038.com/eyeoncareers. Go to our podcasts. They're amazing. but they're, you know, you have a couple billionaires on there talking about how to do business. There might be one or two relevant points. That's all I'm saying. And if you're not that crazy about cash, we have social entrepreneurs here too. And we had Medea Nocentini. I just like and I keep announcing her just so I can say her name. Vice President of Corporate Development at OSN and founder and CEO of Social Enterprise C3 Consult for a Cause. Consultant coach for a cause. They help NGOs get their business act together, bringing real professionals into places like refugee camps to help these people with their finances and legal stuff and everything like that. It's an amazing charity. Check her out online. But right now we're here with El Comandante, the chief executive officer of Dubizzle.com, a man who weaved his way through one of the biggest corporations, Nokia, to throw it all away. He told his wife, "Listen, I'm going to take a pay cut and a personal loan to get involved in this startup, Dubizzle.com." And his name is Arto Yowensu, Chief Executive Officer of Dubizzle.com. Arto, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
And for those just joining us, it's also interactive, so you can send us a question at SMS us at 4001 or use your mobile app. But Arto, you know, you made some really heavy hitting points about the power of culture, the power of values, of character, of integrity, of really understanding a why. You know, why are you doing what it is, and beyond just the dollar, you know, those subconscious drivers, you know, what's really driving you. For you, it's understanding the human condition, and so much more. I won't go into it because the listeners can catch the rest on the website, dubaii108.com. But what, I think all those things are great. I think they are very important. But in my humble opinion, you know, the real value of Dubizzle.com was more a tactical one, showed up, were the trailblazers, and you created a kind of online classifieds before any existed. Now, what's your take on it? Was it really a tactical success, or was it this strategic, deeper, esoteric value culture success?
I agree with you, and I think it's a combination of both. You know, JC and Sim are a true story of kind of rags to riches in terms of the whole Dubizzle story. And when they came down here in 2004, early 2005, what they discovered was a profound need for classifieds. And, you know, it was controlled by a player that I'm not going to name here, but it was in a newspaper outlet that was inefficient. It was not inclusive, and you had to pay to be involved in it. And it was all about going through middlemen, and there was a lot of consumer exploitation that was happening. And that was kind of the core driver that ultimately led to the guys actually forming Dubizzle. So it was the why back then, and what it is today is to disrupt consumer exploitation. And I feel that the timing was absolutely right. You know, classifieds as a business is nothing new. You know, there's been Craigslist in the U.S. There's Le Bon Coin. There's Finn. You know, there's Shipstead. All these guys all around the world. And OLX is a major brand. But at the same time, you know, I feel that the fact that the guys were driven by a purpose really, really made a difference. And, you know, they had their own personal numbers on the site for many, many years. And it was all about, you know, reaching out to the community, not taking ourselves too seriously, but ultimately it's always been about making a difference and enabling consumer-to-consumer trade in Dubai first, then across the other Emirates, and now across 11 countries. So, yeah, it's a combination of being in the right place in the right time, but ultimately I think the fact that the guys wanted to disrupt the consumer exploitation that was happening really did make a difference.
It's quite interesting. You know, I almost think that, you know, with academia, you know, that really kind of dictates the business narrative that we subscribe to, overemphasize strategy and all these other elements, and downplays the strength of just good tactical excellence. You know, waking up every morning, 5 a.m., get out there, grind it, you know, door after door slammed on you, keep pushing it. And that's what, you know, you guys did to get this business off the ground. But what I'm hearing from you is that, A, you're not going to have the tenacity to continue to drive that kind of tactical excellence if you don't have these esoteric items like your why and your sense of purpose and your larger conceptual things. And you're also not going to have this the ability to sustain your business or attract and engage your team if you don't have them as well. So I can kind of now, as you describe it, start to see the connection between these items.
Yeah, and you know, one of the big things is those were innately part of, you know, both what subconsciously JC and Sim were doing these things. And one of the big things that we've done in the last, or maybe about 2-3 years ago, was to really distill what that core sense of purpose is. And really make sure that everybody who works at Dubizzle shares that same vision and those same core values, because everybody in a company is a leader, and everyone needs to buy into that vision. And that was a big realization for the guys, is that you know, that sense of purpose needs to flow across the entire organization. And it wasn't easy in the beginning, but I think once that happened, you know, there's fantastic examples throughout the organization where you went from 2 leaders to now almost close to 200 leaders that are driven by the same vision. And I think that's extremely powerful.
What do you mean leaders?
Everybody's a leader in their
own. Oh, I thought you meant like liquid, like leaders. Like,
leaders, well, like, yeah, that's, I know it's Thursday.
It was cyber talk. It could have been cyber talk. I don't know, because I don't know the lingo, but okay. You were just speaking regular English.
Yeah.
But where does failure fit into a program of success? Where does, you know, getting knocked down and scraping your knees? I heard one interesting quote said, if anything's worth doing well, it's worth doing badly. And I think so many people are scared to do something badly that they don't ever do anything great.
I think failure is absolutely necessary. And, you know, we have this this saying is that there's no such thing as you know, failure, but an unsuccessful experiment. But basically, what that dictates is you need to be able to fail fast, and there's no bad part in that. And at the same time, you know, bad news is better than no news, and I think that's extremely important as well.
I love that. I love that. It's one of our mantras, is fail fast and fail often.
Perfect.
And when I'm in meetings, I'm like telling people this, I'm like, fail fast and fail often. And they're looking at me like I'm nuts. And I'm like, this is the best way to be successful. Fail fast, fail off often. Don't do the same failure over and over, obviously.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you make every mistake you can, you learn the lessons and you move forward. Fail fast and fail off. Fail your way. Like Les Brown says, you're going to fail forward. You're going to fail your way to success.
Absolutely. And I mean, when I was working at Nokia with our digital marketing team, we used to have this saying is ask for forgiveness and, you know, don't wait until something gets approved. But, you know, fail fast and move forward. And if it doesn't work out, at least, you know, done is better than perfect, as the guys at Facebook say. And I truly agree in that.
Done is better than perfect. What advice do you have for anyone out there who's, you know, looking to get the next rung in the ladder in their career or take the next step in their career path?
Well, I think it's personal for everybody. But, you know, I could give you the rational thing about, you know, try to solve a problem and you know, figure that out. But I think personally is do something that you really care about. And, you know, if you do something that you really care about, you're going to have the passion. You're going to be excited when you get out in the morning, get out of the bed in the morning, but have the courage to do that. And I think, you know, if you truly believe in something, go after it, chase your dreams. And, you know, we only live once, so make the best out of it.
Just on your point on being rational, you know, the rational, logical person realizes they can't change their surroundings, so they adjust themselves. And the illogical, irrational person refuses to change themselves and tries to change their surroundings. So all progress is therefore based on the irrational, illogical person. Someone sent me this quote today, and you just made me think of it, which is quite interesting. So it's those agitators or irrational people that are actually changing the pace of the herd.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the old quote of there's people that say they can't do something and there's people that say they can, and usually they're both right.
Yeah, they're both right. Yeah, he who can and he who can't. He who thinks he can and he who thinks he can are both right.
Yep.
Well, Arto, you know, I know that we have to go out now and do some Mexican wrestling in the parking lot. So we're gonna have to
bring it on.
Yeah, we're gonna get it on. So, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, and hats off to you. You know, dobizzle.com, if anything, is an inspiration to all of us. That's a big success story, and you know, we all saw that thing take off. Anyone who was in town when this thing started, so you're inspiring, I'm sure, thousands of people, even if you don't know it.
Well, thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you so much, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Fantastic.
That was Arto Yowensu, Chief Executive Officer, dobizzle.com. He's also known as El Comandante. That's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I wanted to thank you guys all for listening. Remember, chase your dreams. You know, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. I find so many people, they just don't take off. They just keep their plane on the runway and don't start the engines up. I like what Les Brown said. He said, you know, the cemeteries are the richest places in the world. They have the most wealth, because how many inventions, how many dreams, how many businesses laid to rest with the people who were born with those ideas, never acted on them. And if you were to die today, what dreams would die with you? What inventions would die with you? What contributions to society would die with you? So we're here on Eye on Careers just to tell you, don't let that happen. Take action. Remember the secret formula to success. Start. Don't quit. And as Arto says, fail fast and fail often. It's your host, Shane Phillips, saying good luck chasing your dreams. And that's it for this episode of Eye on Careers.